Hey, hey, now welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Hey now, family, we are doing a new thing. That's right, we are doing a new thing. And you know what? I feel like Oprah today. You get a new thing, you get a new thing, you get a new thing, we get a new thing. Gone are the things of the past, and it is time for you to focus forward on what is new. So if your money is funny, if your change is strange, if your kids are crazy, if your significant other is lazy, it does not matter what you've been through, because guess what? I have been there and I have done that. When they asked me to do this show, the Millionaires Roundtable, I'm thinking, the Millionaires Roundtable, do they know what I have been through? Do they know what struggles I've had? Do they understand my financial background? You see, I was born and raised in Chicago. My grandmother was 75 years old, cleaning homes for wealthy people, putting me through college. And she taught me everything that big mamas teach their children. She said, go to school, get a good education, get a good job, go to church on Sunday, wear clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus. You know, that's what all the big mamas teach their children. They tell you to clean your elbows. And I'm like, nobody's even looking at your elbows. You know, all of those things. And I did not know anything about money. My grandmother cleaned homes for a living. And all I knew was if I needed some money, I never felt like I was poor, but I knew I was not rich. Okay. So I got that. I never was in a situation where I was hungry or I didn't know where a meal or some necessity was going to come from. If I needed money for something, I'd simply say, Grandma, I need some money for a field trip. She'd tell me to look in the room on top of the shelf, behind the box, inside my pocketbook, inside a zipper, wrapped up in a piece of paper towel is $20. So I decided, okay, wait a minute. I had to go to all these places to get the money. So of course I was motivated. She taught me to go to school. I went on to Northwestern University. And there, my first week of school, I went to the credit card room. You all know what I'm talking about, the credit card room. There were about 50 different credit card people. And while many of my classmates were going around to select one credit card, I decided to get one of each. Oh boy, that did not go well. Let me tell you something. I've always had the gift of gab. So when the creditors would call and say, well, Lynn, can you borrow the money? I'd say, can I borrow it from you? I had all kind of funny answers. But when I got out in the real world, it wasn't so funny. My credit was jacked up. My furniture had to come from Rent-A-Center. I knew at that time that this myth or in my head, this vision of being a strong, black, educated woman, I knew it was compromised at the tender young age in my early 20s. And so fast forward, I get married. I have a husband, three children, big old house in the suburbs, biggest house in the subdivision. That was a mistake. I'll tell you about that later. And here I am helping people all over the world get their finances in order, get approved for mortgages. I helped a lady with four bankruptcies and two foreclosures overcome her credit issues. She got into a house with a low interest rate, low down payment, and in the home buyers club. And from there, I went on to write books and so on and so forth. And I was making lots of money. But you see, I was living a lie. As we move forward, we have to unveil the lies, because you cannot fix what you will not face. And the lie that I was living is I was living check to Monday. Do you understand what that is? You see, check to check is a blessing. That means you get paid on Friday and by the next payday, you're broke. But check to Monday is an entirely different game. You get paid on Friday. You kick it on the weekend. You pay on your past due bills. Okay? Because in your mind, your current bills are not due yet. Has a creditor ever called you for a bill that's coming up and you looking at the phone like, are they crazy? I haven't even paid the past two bills that are past due. And so that's the lifestyle I was living. And I was making $50, $60, $70, $80, $90,000 a month, not a year. So let me help you understand this. This is why this is a new thing, because more money doesn't solve a money problem. If it did, millionaires wouldn't go bankrupt. If more money could solve a money problem, you'd never have a bankrupt millionaire. You'd never have a bankrupt billionaire. So what do we do about it going forward? How do we take the new thing? The Bible says, behold, I am about to do a new thing in Isaiah 43:19. And it is my belief that as Black and brown people, as people of color, and particularly in the African-American community, we do not lack wealth because we don't have the intellect. African-American women get more degrees than any group of people on the planet. Yet, we still do not have the wealth of other cultures. We are not in a less than wealthy or less than ideal situation with our wealth because we don't get access to the resources. Now, come on now, we got to tell the truth. Have you ever gotten a raise on your job? Okay, now I don't see you right now, but you can raise your hand. Now, when you got that raise, did you go and raise your expenses? You see, if you get a raise on your job and raise your expenses, then you have more bills, you have less freedom, and now you have more responsibility. We do not lack wealth because we don't have the ability to do so. It's not because we're not able. Now, yes, there have been laws in place and redlining and all kinds of discrimination, but here is the truth. The truth is, even back in the early days of history, African Americans were able to manifest wealth. And it is a new season right now. I don't care what time of the year it is. I don't care what year it is. Every single day gives us an opportunity to do something new. So what is that new thing? We're going to learn the rules of the game and then play the game by the rules. This money thing is a game. And I remember as I began to get myself out of the hole that I was in, and I was down under the ground, broke down, crying, all that stuff, embarrassed because I had pretended like I had so much money and didn't really have any. And I was spending it all and helping people get out of jail and buying houses. Like, I was doing it all. But let me tell you something. You cannot give from an empty cup. Your cup must be overflowing. And even then, we have to learn the difference between giving and enabling. We don't want to enable situations. And a lot of times we're in situations because we enable our own selves and the people we love to live in less than the ideal wealthy situation. So what must we do about it? We must spend less money. You must get more money. And then you must get your money back. We're going to talk about it. The harvest is here. The time is now. This is your season. And the reason is because you deserve it.
Give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits. Lynn Richardson and New Wealth University is giving 50% off on the Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program. The Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program will give you 2 full years of unlimited access to all of Lynn's online classes, books, boot camps, master classes, and webinars. So give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits with 50% off on the Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program, available on LynnRichardson.com.
Let's talk about real estate, real estate, real estate.
Hi, I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You've seen me on Good Morning America, The Breakfast Club, and WVON. I'm so excited about sharing with you the Home Buyers Club. It's time for you to get the home of your dreams. No credit, no problem. Low credit, no problem. No down payment, no problem. I am excited about you getting a piece of the American dream. Join the Home Buyers Club today. So what's the word of the day? Behold, I am about to do a new thing. Isaiah 43:19. You know, that word gives me great joy. It gives me hope. It gives me faith. It gives me endurance. Because no matter what you have been through, guess what? If God did it for me, he can do it for you too. You know, it doesn't make any sense to be jealous of anybody. It doesn't even make any sense to be down on yourself because you see other people succeeding. Because guess what? If God did it for them, he can do it for you too. And when God blesses your neighbor, that means he is in your neighborhood. So we are in the same family. And what that means is that time is now. The harvest is here. It is a new opportunity to do a new thing, to bring on new joy, to bring on new wealth, so that you don't have to live in whatever you were given. All the stuff that you were given, that stuff is behind. We are leaving broke behind, and it is behind. So guess what? I want you to write down everything that you want to be new. I want you to write down everything that you want to be true. And I want you to write down what you are willing to do about it to create the future that you see for yourself. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time, and that means you. Okay, I said you must learn the rules of the game and then play the game by the rules. What does that mean? There are many people who have different philosophies about how you should approach becoming financially free. There are baby steps, there are stair steps, there are financial fitness programs, and it really doesn't matter which one you follow. Here are the basics. The very first thing you must do, if you want a new thing in your finances, if you want a new thing in your family, if you want a new thing in your energy, you see, we should be sick and tired of letting money control how we feel, letting money control how we view others, and letting money dictate whether or not we do a job, take a job, do something we love, do something we hate. We actually have more control over money than we recognize. But like any game, if you don't know the rules, now you might cheat, but you're not going to get far with that, okay? You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool everybody all the time. It is not going to work. We must learn the rules of the game. So, number one, spend less money. You see, if I had stayed in the house that my husband and I bought when we were broke. Now, when we bought this house, let me tell you, we scraped every dime we had. We went to the closing. They gave us some money back. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Now I can eat dinner. Because let me tell you, we scraped every single penny we had in the bank. That was our first house. But when I got that house, I was so happy with it. Well, guess what happened when I blew up and started making more money? I went and bought a house four times the amount of that house. My first house was under $90,000 or about $90,000. My second house was well over $300,000. So if you spend less money, it certainly doesn't mean that you never treat yourself to anything, but we must spend less money than we make. How do you do that? Well, first I say live by the 10, 10, 30, 50. The first 10% of every dollar you get, you tithe. Now, I know people have an issue with the word. Y'all talking about the preacher and what they did and what they didn't do. I don't care about any of that. I am a pastor. As a matter of fact, I'm the pastor of stewardship at California Worship Center, where Warren Campbell is our senior pastor and Erica Campbell is our first lady. I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm talking about you and your relationship with your money. You see, if you write down an H and an S, and Yana Van Zandt shared this with me many years ago, write down a dollar sign. If you look at a dollar sign on your sheet of paper, if you have something to write with right now, as a matter of fact, I recommend that you get pen and paper. If you write down an S with two lines, you will see an H and an S, and it stands for Holy Spirit. And until your money lines up with the proper energy, it is my belief that it will be flowing and going. It'll be moving and choosing, and you won't be able to find it, okay? So this is how I know this works. And I'm not talking about what your religion is, all right? Because whatever you believe in, that's fine. But I know that there are people who are not Christian who live by the virtue of giving. I call it tithing. And guess what? It's a universal principle. So when I started tithing, let me tell you, I was broke as all get out. I had a corporate job. I was the golden girl on the team. I was making hundreds of thousands of dollars. But when I got my check stopped way up there and my bills kept going all the way down the sheet of the paper. So I started tithing when I was broke, because this is what I realized. I was broke whether I tithed or not. It wasn't like if I kept the tithe of money, I was straight. I was broke either way. So I started tithing. So at least I could have God on my broke side when I prayed. Now you can go on and say amen for that one. Okay. So then people say, well, is it 10% off your gross or your net? Let me tell you, I did what was good for me. All right. And I called God to the boardroom and I said, now look here. Okay. Just look here. I'm going to give you 10% of what I got. You will have to get the rest from FICA then, because I didn't get that part. Let me tell you, God has grace for babies and fools. And I was a baby fool when I was broke. You see, I was on food stamps in this century. I'm talking about, and I ain't talking about in the 90s. I'm talking about in the 2000s. I went through a period where I was on food stamps. So I had to put down all my beliefs, all of my intellect, My degree is in finance and economics and business. And here I was not able to apply any of it. So the first 10% you tithe, the next 10% you save. Now, grandma and them told us to just save for a rainy day, but I'm saying save for a come up. You see, when the stock market crashed in 2008, when the stock market crashed at the beginning of the pandemic, folks who had a little bit of money put to the side for a come up were able to buy stock for pennies on the dollar and then sell it for a huge come up. Now, in 2008, I didn't have any money. My sorority sister bought stock, I think 20 cents a share or something like that, sold it at $20. She made a whole lot of money. I had enough stock to buy a Happy Meal. Okay. And I ate it. All right. So I didn't come up any kind of way. But in this particular cycle, yes, I was able to buy and make some investments and earn 83% return. So it's not just for a rainy day, but you want to be able to save for a come up. The next 30% is cash separate from your bills. Now, this is going to be on a debit card. Okay, so you can put on a separate debit card, because with all that is going on from a health perspective, it's not even safe or even healthy to just carry a bunch of money around in your pocket. But you're going to put this money on a separate debit card, and it's going to prevent you from having a spending addiction. This 30% is for groceries, gas, hair, nails, all of those things. If it doesn't fit, get rid of it. Okay. And it's going to help you avoid a spending addiction. A spending addiction is what you have when you go to the grocery store for toothpaste and you walk out with $179.47 worth of stuff you don't need, talking about it was on sale. That was not on sale for you, boo. That wasn't on sale for you. Right? Listen, when you are trying to do a new thing and your money is not adding up, let me tell you something. If it ain't free, it ain't on sale for you. I have done that. I've gone, oh, these shoes are 20% off, so I buy 8 pair. Now you've spent more money, so it's no longer a sale. You are in debt and you have freedom. So this 30% is to keep you in check so you know exactly how much you have to spend. Now, it's also for all of your incidentals, okay? So we oftentimes get in a position where when we get the opportunity to have something, I'm talking about as a culture, we have been trained to show the world we got it. And we show them with furniture and jewelry and clothing. And those things decrease in value, where we want to buy things that increase in value. So I say to the ladies and everybody, we will not buy deals at the stake. Items that you buy that aren't even worth the ashes you could burn them to, like $5,000 rims on a $500 car. Come on now, right? $75 shoes for feet with corns on them. Get some flip-flops. And ladies, from this day forward, we will live by the universal purse test, which says this: if the purse costs more than the amount of money you can keep in it on a regular basis, leave it on the rack. Leave it on the rack. Okay, no matter what has happened, a pandemic, 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, no matter what happens, the purse companies do not go out of business. They never have. All right. So we want to take this money and we want to do the right thing with it. That means we can't spend more than we have. A young lady came up to me at a conference. She said, "Lynn, I got it." She said, "But this 30%, that's just enough for my hair." I said, "Okay, well, spend the money on your hair. And when you die from starvation, because you can't eat, we're going to look at your casket and say, her hair surely is sharp." Okay. I know I'm talking a little off right now, but the point is we've got to get it. This is about basic mathematics. 1 + 1 = 2. If your stuff adds up to 10, it'll never get into 2. So the first 10% you tithe, next 10% you save, 30% is cash in your pocket. We're going to talk about the rest. Let's walk in your blessing. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. So you got to spend less money, get more money, and get your money back. We're still on spending less money. We're on number one. We're learning the rules of the game so we can play the game by the rules. Okay. The first 10% you tithe, the next 10% you save, the next 30% is cash on a separate debit card for your incidentals like groceries, gas, hair, nails, all of it, your phone, your girlfriend, the club, and all of that stuff. And you cannot spend more money than you have available. It's just as simple as that. And what happens is we get credit cards, and so we're able to spend more and so on and so forth. And then we find ourselves upside down, and we are talking about a new thing. Gone is the broke of the past. As a matter of fact, we are leaving broke behind. You should call 10 of your friends and say, let me tell you something. I need you to go listen to this girl right now at AskLynn.org. Go to AskLynn.org, and you can listen live from anywhere in the world. As a matter of fact, you can listen live from anywhere. You can download the app, and you can just simply click. Either way, we all need to leave broke behind. I know I left it behind a long time ago. We are looking at a new thing. So after the 30%, you've got 50% remaining in your checking account for your bills. Okay. So here's the deal. You either have more than enough money or you don't have enough money. Let's deal with more than enough money, because that's happened to many of us, right? We get a raise and then we go spend more money than we have available. You get a raise, and then you go buy all the things that you wish you had when you didn't have it, or when your ex-boyfriend wouldn't get it for you, or your mama did, whatever it is. We've got all kind of things that we do. The other thing that we do is we get a tax refund. We get a stimulus check. We get a bonus. And then we go pay all of our bills, and then you broke the next month. No. When you have more than enough money, it is game time. Game time. So you've paid your bills. The next thing you want to do is eliminate your debt. Why? Because debt is the middleman between you and your future. Debt is the middleman between you and your wealth. Debt is the middleman between you and opportunity. Why? Because of the interest that you're paying to someone else to make them wealthy. If you did not have debt, then you could now take that money and make it work for you. Money will work harder for you than you can ever work for it. I need you to understand. I am a witness. Now, if I could say it, if I can do it, anybody can. Money will work harder for you than you can ever work for it. But you've got to understand the game, and you've got to respect the game. You can't win the game if you don't respect the game. And money says, if you understand me, if you do what I say, if you honor and respect that I should not be expanded beyond my capacity, then I will go and work for you harder than you can ever work for me, because of this simple concept called compound interest. We're going to talk about that at another time. But when money starts working for you, do you understand how these billionaires pass on wealth for generations and generations? They may have $10 million sitting somewhere, and that $10 million earns 10% interest. It earns $1 million. So they live off of $500,000. The other $500,000 stays in the pot. Now they have $10,500,000. And now that money earns interest, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Can you imagine that for yourself? I certainly can. That's what we are creating right here. And it starts with $1 at a time, the one that you have right now or the one that you're missing. So if you've got more than enough money, you want to first pay off your debt. Yeah, you can put something aside for your business. You can put something aside for that vacation you want to take. Although I don't believe in vacations. I believe in business trips, because now it's a tax write-off. I'll tell you about that later when we talk about getting your money back. But now you have control over the game, because when you are debt-free, now you get to take all of that money and make it grow and work for you. Now, if you don't have enough money, then you must subtract. Subtract what, you might ask? Subtract whoever or whatever is in the way of your new thing. Now, if it's the car that's too expensive, when I was in bankruptcy the second time, because I filed twice, I did a chapter 13, paid it off, and I did a chapter 17 and got rid of everything. They said, well, do you want to keep your car? My beautiful cream Lexus with the champagne. Let me tell you, that joker was bad. But I said no, because I wasn't going to pick my debt. If I'm going to be free, let me be free. And I drove my little raggedy, broke down BMW. Do not be impressed. I had to roll down the window with my own hand. No electric anything. It was hot, sweaty in Chicago. It was terrible. I would have passed out here in California. But the point is, I started over. I started eliminating things. So you may have to eliminate that car. You may have to eliminate that child going to private school. You may have to eliminate some of those piano lessons. You may have to eliminate some things. You may have to even eliminate a college tuition. Because in my household, school is free. If you get A's, you go to school for free. If you get C's, you go into the free school. My kids say, well, what's the free school? The community college. You can work there and work part-time at or full-time at the McDonald's or whatever it is, and you can pay your own way. But the point is, you cannot sacrifice your future trying to make money do more than it was created to do, right? So you might have to subtract where you live. You might have to go move in with grandma. Big mama, grandma B, somebody, your sister, your cousin, uncle, brother, whomever. But do not spend more money than you have available. So learn the rules of the game. You must spend less money. The first 10% you tithe, the next 10% you save, the next 30% is cash in your pocket. The remaining 50% stays in your checking account for your bills. That 30% can also be on a separate debit card, separate from your bills. Okay? We can do this thing. I know you can. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. The harvest is here and the time is now to walk in your blessing. Hi, I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America, The Steve Harvey Show, or Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell. Guess what? Did you know you can get your money back if you hire your kids? You can get your money back if you go out to eat? You can get your money back if you go on a vacation? Well, guess what? In my book, Get Your Money Back, Tax Deductions You Never Know About, I'm going to teach you how you can get your money back with your home-based business legally, ethically, and all with the permission of the IRS. Just go to AskLynn.org. Okay, we're learning the rules of the game so we can play the game by the rules, so we can create millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that is literally how it works, $1 at a time. You see, whatever you do with $1 is what you will do with 10 of them. Whatever you do with 10 is what you will do with 1,000. Whatever you do with 1,000 is what you will do with 100,000. And whatever you do with 100,000 is what you will do with 1,000,000. So every single dollar is related to every other dollar. And the $1,000,000 says, how did you treat the $1? The $1,000,000,000 says, how did you treat the 100,000? So it's how we treat each and every single dollar that we have. So we're talking about spending less money. That's the one we really got to get. Because the truth is, had I allowed my salary to keep increasing and maintain the same expenses until I had enough interest being earned off the money that I was making, I could have earned enough interest to pay for a new house. I could have earned enough interest to buy a car. I wouldn't have had to work for it. My money would have kept growing, and the interest that I was paying everybody else would have bought the things that I wanted. Okay. So we're spending less money. The next thing you have to do, number two, is get more money, right? Because some people are saying, well, Lynn, I'm under everything. Okay. If I spend anything less, I will just disappear. So I know that there are a lot of folks out there who are budgeting. And when it comes to using this 10, 10, 30, 50, see, here's the deal. You also want to track every penny. I dare you to go back and look at every single penny you spent last week, last month, last year. All right. You see, some say money talks, but I say money walks away from you quietly and you don't know where it went. It would be nice if a dollar said, I'm about to roll bounce up out of here. And when you come find me, I will not be here. It will be nice if money did talk, but it does not. It walks away quietly. And here's the other thing. We keep saying it's just $10. It's just $20. It's just $30. Well, if you go add up all your it's just, that's where your wealth is, right? So we're learning the rules of the game. We're tracking it and we're going to spend less money than we have. But now you got to get more money. Multiple streams of income is the name of the game. Why? Because one stream of income is hazardous to your wealth. There used to be safe jobs. Nothing is safe anymore. You need multiple streams of income. So if something goes down in one area, you've still got income over here. If something isn't performing well here, if that industry, you know, goes upside down, you still got money coming over here. I recommend at least 9 streams. I think right now I'm working on 21 streams of income, but I say 9. And let me tell you something, you could do it. The virtuous woman of Proverbs had 9 streams of income. I'll talk about that later on another day. But I recommend 9 streams of income. I recommend income from whatever you can get that is legal, moral, and ethical. So whatever jobs, when I was in young, you know, now I do not recommend that you just go do everything and be crazy with it. In my book, The Symphony, A Guide to Creating and Balancing Multiple Streams of Income, I help entrepreneurial people like myself understand how to have many different things, but to also have balance and harmony. You see, if you came to my house in my 20s, on a Saturday, child, please, let me tell you, I could help you write your resume and get the job. I was excellent at writing good resumes and letters that would actually get you in the door. I could teach you what to say. I could teach you how to get your life insurance. I could write that policy. I could get your mortgage. I could do your hair, your nails too. They might be lumpy, but you know, oh well. It was like, my name is Lenny and I got plenty. Child, it was something else, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, right? So in a musical symphony, there are many different instruments. And when each one plays at the right time, they make one beautiful sound. In your business, you have increments. Increments are businesses that make money. And when you add each one at the right time, they will create harmony and wealth. All right. So you need multiple streams of income. You have to learn how to do that. You need passive income streams. You need money coming in that you don't have to work for, making money while you sleep. As a matter of fact, if you go to makemoneywithlynn.com, you'll see one of my programs there. But the point is multiple streams of income. But the big deal here is you have to learn how to get your money back. You must learn how to get money back. I said money will work harder for you than you can ever work for it. But when you have a home-based business, you also can get back the dollars that you spent. Money will work harder for you. Now let's do it. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you.
All right. Hello, everybody. We are here on the Millionaires Roundtable, and I'm so excited as always. Guess what? As we move into the new year, many of us are looking for more financial independence. Whether you are navigating the ups and downs of the job market, dealing with debt, or simply trying and striving to sustain a solid savings cushion, financial independence might seem like it is beyond your reach. That's why I'm excited to welcome Brandon Mills, Community Manager at JPMorgan Chase, to talk about all of the things you need to know, the tools and the strategies that can make your financial independence seem like a dream that can come true. I am always so excited to bring to you my partners here at Chase to help you get to the next level. So I have to say right now, good morning, Brandon. Welcome to the roundtable.
Good morning, Dr. Lynn. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited, Brandon. So let me just say this. First of all, what is financial independence and why is it important?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, financial independence means something different for everyone. That's first and foremost. Some might say that financial independence means having enough money or income to live the lifestyle that it desires. Others may say it's a sense of security with more freedom to spend time to do what you want, whether it's pursuing hobbies, traveling, spending time with your loved ones, or anything else. For me, like this, me personally, financial independence just means you have the power to make those choices for you and your family that aren't solely based on finances.
We're chatting with Brandon Mills, Community Manager at Chase, about becoming financially independent in 2024. I say, we want more in 2024. Brandon, what are some of the challenges that people face when trying to become financially independent?
Well, the journey to financial independence, it really does have its ups and downs. Like, there is really no right way to do it, and everyone deals with things differently. They may include unstable income. Like, when we're dealing with that, like, that's income that varies week or monthly, it can be difficult to kind of consistently save when you have it, when you have a situation like that. Then, you, of course, you have the high cost of living. I'm like, if you're in a high cost of living area, saving a significant portion of your income may be a little bit more difficult. Then, of course, you have what we call that debt. You know, so especially when we're thinking about, we think about high interest debt, it can potentially make it harder to build financial security and may slow your pace. And then, of course, we all have that impulse spending every once in a while. And that's when we're like trying to stay committed to those long-term goals. It's challenging for many people, especially when faced with those short-term temptations to spend, like when we're at that grocery store or when we're at the department store or something of that nature, when you have that one thing that's right there when you're about to check out. He's like, you know what? I could use that. You know, some of those things, those can be difficult to kind of hold at bay.
You know, Brandy, you have brought up so many things that have helped, that have just really bothered me throughout my financial journey. And the things you're sharing here today, I know are things that are going to help people. So let's dive into some ways to overcome these challenges. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting their journey? They're like, they're listening to this right now, and they're just starting their journey to financial independence.
Well, achieving financial independence may feel overwhelming for folks just getting started. But by breaking it down into key steps and committing yourself to financial discipline, you may be able to make that dream a reality. The first step to financial independence is setting a clear and realistic goals, realistic financial goals that I'm talking about. Ask yourself, what does financial independence look like for you? And we're talking about you specifically as that person. Is it being able to pay all your bills comfortably? You define what financial independence means to you. You can set the short-term, long-term, or medium-term goals you need to help make it happen. Making sure these goals are specific and measurable, we're talking about those SMART goals, can help you stay on track during your financial independence. Debt is usually one of those biggest obstacles to financial independence. High interest debt in particular can drain resources and make it harder to save. We talk a lot about it. It's smart to focus on debt management strategies, such as paying off high interest debt first, making more than minimum payments, and consolidating debt to lower interest rates as well. One of the key things I always try to talk about, especially when you're first getting started, so many times we focus on all of our expenses when we really need to probably start to focus on our income. Not only how much are we making, when are we getting paid as well, and then we kind of fit our expenses all around when we're getting paid.
You know what? If you're just tuning in, Brandon Mells from Chase is here on the Millionaires Roundtable to help us reach financial independence in 2024. I keep saying we want more in 2024. So, Brandon, let's say we've set some financial goals and we're working to reduce our debt. What would you do next?
It's time to start saving. I think that's huge. I think that's monumental. Creating a robust saving strategy is another core pillar of financial independence. Growing your saving over time creates a buffer against financial emergencies and gives you the resources to achieve financial goals. Luckily, there are a bunch of different ways to save, whether it's your traditional savings account or high yield savings account or certificate of deposits, otherwise known as CDD. Your bank should be able to guide you towards those options that work best for you.
I say save, save, save. I tell everybody, just take an amount of money that you don't even want to see it. Just automatically have it deducted from your check. You never see it. You won't even miss it. And then you'll look up and you'll just see the money there. This is so good. So Brandon, is there anything else you want to share with our audience?
Even with the many curves and speed bumps, the path to financial independence is so worth it. That said, some people may benefit from an additional help, a helping hand for financial independence services. These services typically provide a number of resources from budgeting advice to debt management strategies and savings guidance. Their goal is to help clarify the basics for personal finance, potentially making the path to financial independence clearer and more attainable. I also want to make sure I remind folks that financial independence isn't always about crossing the finish line. It's also about making consistent, better informed choices and setting goals that keep you financially healthy and increasingly secure. If you're interested in learning a little bit more, please visit www.chase.com/personal/financial-goals. And I'm going to repeat that. That's www.chase.com/personal/financial dash goals.
You all have heard it right here. Let me tell you something. I always tell people this, Brandon. I say, listen, financial freedom is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is something that you will be on the path to pretty much for the rest of your life. So do not give up. Do not quit. And always remember that, Chase, we are here to help you. Thank you so much, Brandon, for all your help. I'm so excited, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.